Thank you. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This word for foreknow is prognosko. Pro means before, and gnosko means to know. So it's to know ahead of time, to know beforehand. When our children were younger, my wife and I would take the children and we'd travel out east to see my parents. Did that every August for probably close to 20 years. It was our vacation time. It was time for my parents to get to see the grandchildren as well as my wife and I. Time for the children to get to see their grandparents, and time to do some other things. You know, being from the Midwest, they didn't have the ocean. But they could go to the beach when we were out east. We could go fishing in the ocean. They also liked going to the boardwalk, to the rides, just all the excitement that there generally was on the boardwalk. We foreknew that we were going. We could plan it. And because we knew ahead of time where we were going and what was available, we could predetermine what we were going to do when we got there. That's what this foreknowledge is with God. And a lot of times people with the predestination think it's all about fate. God chooses who will be saved. God chooses who won't be saved. It has nothing to do with fate. It has everything to do with God knowing beforehand what's going to happen. He's known since the beginning that one day you would hear his plan, as stated in Romans 10, 9, and 10, he knew that you would hear that and that you would believe it. And because of that, he could predetermine or predestinate things to take place for you. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he, God, hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Since before the foundation of the world, God has been anticipating the day when you would believe, when you would accept his declaration about his plan through his Son, Jesus Christ. The word foundation, first off, this phrase, foundation of the world, it appears 11 times. The word foundation itself is katabola. Kata is a preposition. When it's in the genitive case, it refers to vertical motion, up and down. When it's in the accusative case, it refers to horizontal motion. 10 of the 11 times when this phrase, foundation of the world, is used, it's in the genitive case, so it's referring to vertical motion. Embala means to place or to set, to arrange. In this case, you would translate foundation as a casting or a casting down. E.W. Bullinger translates it as overthrow. When it comes to the noun, he translates the noun as disruption or ruin. And the word world is the word cosmos. Cosmos refers to the orderly arrangement of the world. So what we're talking about is before the casting down or the overthrow of the orderly arrangement. I guess the question then that would arise is exactly when is this casting down? When is this overthrow of the orderly arrangement? Look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." That is where you would really use the word foundation in there. Because that's where God founded or created the world. Verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The earth was without form and void, mistranslated. Should be translated, "And the earth became without form and void." The "became" is the casting down or the overthrow. It was the overthrow of the orderly arrangement that God had set up in Genesis 1:1. What overthrew it, or what cast it down, was when Lucifer rebelled in heaven against God. He overthrew the order that God had set up. When you come to Genesis chapter 2, after God has put everything back together, or he's brought everything back into order, you have Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." In the Greek Septuagint, the word for host is cosmos. In Genesis chapter 1, after the overthrow, after the casting down of verse 2, God goes about setting things back into order. God wants things decently in an order. He sets the order back up. The order refers to in heaven, the sun, the moon, the stars. In the earth, the way he arranged it with day and night, separating the land from the waters. And this was what's being referred to in Ephesians when it says, "Before the foundation of the world, he chose us." Well, that's the prognosko, the foreknowledge of Romans 8. He could see from before the overthrow in Genesis 1:2 that the day would come when you would hear his word and you would believe it. It's an amazing concept. Of the 11 times that this phrase, "foundation of the world," is used, 7 of them refer to Israel. And each one of those occurrences says, "from the foundation of the world." It uses the Greek preposition apo, means away from. So from Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, when the order of the world, the order of the cosmos, had been reset by God. From that point on, God had plans that he was laying out for Israel. But 3 times, it's used of before the foundation of the world. One of those times, as I said, is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, "According as he hath chosen us in him," in Christ, "before the foundation of the world." He's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Look at the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Let's see, what verse can we go to? know it's here somewhere. All the way down to verse 24. John 17:24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. There's the only two ways in which before is used. It's used of Jesus Christ, it's used of us. You know, and some will take then the statement in verse 24 to say, well, then Jesus Christ is God. That's not what it's saying. No more so than it's saying that because we were known before the foundation of the world that we're God. It's saying that God knew Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. He knew how it was going to work out. He knew his son would be there to carry out his will. He knew his son would do all that he asked of him. And he knew that we would be in Christ. That's how we have all that we have by grace. We are in him. Back in Ephesians 1:4 again, when he has chosen us in him, in Christ. We're chosen in Christ. We weren't chosen in and of ourselves. We're not earning our way into heaven. Salvation is by grace. From before the foundations of the world, from before Genesis 1:2, back in Genesis 1:1, God knew you. And God knew you would believe. He foreknew that. And because of that, he prepared certain things for you. He got things ready. You know, it was like my parents waiting for us to show up each August. They got things ready. They were anticipating our arrival. They were excited about us coming, just as we were excited about getting there. We sat down with the kids beforehand. We planned fishing trips. We planned days at the beach. We planned the evening at the boardwalk. We could plan those things ahead of time because we knew what was coming. We knew what was available. Well, God's done the same thing for us. He knew that we would believe. He knew that we would hear that word someday. And that we would accept it. We would accept Jesus as Lord and believe that God had raised him from the dead. And all this time, God has been anticipating that day when you would be called his child. Look at Ephesians again. Go back to Ephesians. Chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All spiritual blessings. That's what he's prepared for us because he knew we would believe. Not some, not a little. All spiritual blessings. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, before the overthrow or the casting down of the cosmos, before the orderly arrangement that God had set up and been disrupted by his enemy, Lucifer. Before that, he chose you. He chose you to be holy and without blame before him alone. Because of what Christ would accomplish, he chose you because you chose to believe. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Having predestinated us. To be his children. You're his child. it's according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Redemption and forgiveness, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. This is what He's done. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted. See, He knew that. He knew you were going to trust in the word that He had declared. He knew you were going to believe in the plan of salvation through Christ. He knew that you were going to act upon it. He knew that when you heard it, you would take it into your heart and you would believe it. He has been anticipating your sonship, your entrance into His family, since before Genesis 1-2. Since the beginning, in the beginning, God. Before there was time, you were in God's heart. You were in God's mind. You were in God's anticipation of a family. And He prepared things for that family. To be holy, to be without blame, to be redeemed, to be justified, to be sanctified. In whom ye also trusted, verse 13, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. You know, in the old days, they write a letter or whatever, and then they fold it over, and pour some wax on it, and seal it with a signet ring. And that would identify who the author of the letter was, who was sending the letter. But we're sealed. We're sealed with Holy Spirit. We're sealed with Holy Spirit because God is holy and God is Spirit. We're sealed as His. We're in His family. We're His children. This is what He predestined for us. For anyone who would believe that they would be sealed with His gift of Holy Spirit. So look at chapter 2 for a second. Ephesians chapter 2. Now we'll start verse 1. And you, hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the course of this world. Well, what's the word world? In this case, the word world, once again, is cosmos. The orderly arrangement. We walked according to the course of the orderly arrangement. Problem is, the orderly arrangement in this day and time is that the adversary is the god of this world. He's the one that's running the arrangement of the world right now. Granted, his time is running out. His time will come to an end. If you saw through that smokescreen, you saw the truth in what God had declared in the world. So in times past, you walked according to the arrangement that the adversary had laid out, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's still a lot of people out there that don't see through that smokescreen, that don't believe the testimony of God, that don't believe the plan that God laid out. They don't even believe that there's God. But you did. You did. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. See, all that we have is in Christ. That's our identification. In the ages to come, verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through believing. Faith is the Greek word pistis, should be translated believing. For by grace are ye saved through believing, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. When you stop and think about it today, when you think about who you are, consider and remember that you are God's child, and that from Genesis 1:1, he has anticipated fellowship with you. And that from Genesis 1:1, he has prepared certain things for you, like being holy and without blame. And all that he's prepared for us today is still nothing compared to what he has for us still in the future. But consider your Heavenly Father and how he's done all things for you so that you could be his child, so that he could be your father, so that together we can be as a family throughout all eternity. He's been anticipating this fellowship, this joyous union, this time of great joy and rejoicing, since long before we can count time, because none of us know when Genesis 1:1 took place. We don't know how far back in the beginning is. But however far back it was, in the beginning was where God first saw you. In the beginning is where your father first loved you. And it's from that beginning he's been waiting to spend time with you, to fellowship with you, and to walk with you as father and